This is Joanna Schrader reporting live for Domestic Fuel, and I went with Merle Anderson, who is actually considered the father of ethanol and has been credited with founding the American Coalition for Ethanol. Merle, how are you?
Well, I'm pretty good. I'm getting older, and I'm starting to notice it, but I'm still enjoying trying to be helpful to this industry.
Well, you know, I think before we started this interview, we talked a little bit about, you know, kind of give us a little historical view of where ethanol was, especially when you started ACE, I believe, in 1977, and where we are today.
Yeah, well, of course, if you go back to my early interest in it, there was hardly, not much around. I went to a meeting where they were discussing the value of DDG, and that made the production of ethanol profitable because of the value of the DDG playing into the sale of the energy part of it. I was, as a farmer, I was involved with almost all of the commodity groups in one way or another, and especially the rural electrics in our communities. And I got on the what I call Minn Kota Power Cooperative Board up there, which serves the whole region. Generation transmission cooperative. So I had good ties with the rural electrics, and then I also had good ties with the Wheat Growers Association and the Barley Growers Association, sugar beet growers, all of the commodity groups. And I was representing all of them together in one way or another, and that's what gave me the thought that, you know, we could start an effort to have a grassroots organization that would represent agriculture and the agriculture and develop the ethanol industry. And back at that time, there wasn't an awful lot of interest, but generally people agreed. And you know, the industry done, when you look back at it, I thought it was going to take a year and a half to get this done. Well, it's been 22 years for me. In fact, it's been more than that, but ACE's 22nd anniversary this year here, and when you look back at it, we've done really well. We've done some good things. I think we've helped farmers an awful lot. I think we've done what's right for America. When you talk about the transfer of our wealth, I think we've helped a little bit. Could have and should have done more. And I always have an interest in support our troops. And listen, my dear, when we go to the gas pump and put a $40 fill, we're sending from $5 to $10 of that $40 to our terrorist enemies to come back at us. And we ought to be very concerned about that. And as time goes on, we have, back a couple of years ago, we were transferring as much as $1 billion a day of our wealth to foreign interest buying oil. Now that has to change. That has to change and needs to change. Do you want to know what I think could fix it best, quickest?
Yes.
Have the auto industry, for goodness sake, stand up and admit that their vehicles will operate successfully on higher blends. Every blend out on the street here in this city is a flex fuel vehicle. When it comes down to it, it will burn very successfully 30, 40% or even higher. And I've got hundreds of friends that do the same as I do. We just run higher, and we don't have to be out looking for flex fuel vehicles. That's all right too. But the standard vehicles will burn higher blends, and that's really the answer. We've been too successful in creating production. We haven't worried enough about selling the product, and we've got to solve that if this industry is going to go forward. We can't keep on producing more. Farmers are good at that. Producing too much and then not having a market to sell it.
Well, yep. You know, we're here at the conference, Merle, and actually you bring up a good point about the industry not doing a good job of selling it.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us a little bit about the mid-level blend announcement you made yesterday?
Yeah, I think that I and some other of us have played a role in that. I was one of the people that got some of the first blender pumps installed in the region, and that is the answer. But of course, it's tied right into what I'm saying about using higher blends, and we believe that it's only right that consumers have a choice when they pull up that gas pump, and if they see that E30 or E40 button and they decide to want to try it, they should do it. And if they think it didn't work so good, they can go back to E20 or they can go back to straight gasoline, whatever they desire. So it's a matter of choice. And it is the answer to our problem, because if we get enough blender pumps out there, if we get the 5,000 installed and they're working, well, there'll probably be 100,000 after a while. And that giving consumers a choice is going to sell more ethanol, and it's going to be only good for the country, for jobs, the economy, and all the things that go along with it. Then farmers are going to benefit as it goes along, as well as a lot of other parts of the industry.
Well, let me ask you this, Merle. You talk about ACE was founded as a grassroots organization. I know you do a lot of policy and legislation on a state-by-state or city level. A lot of experts are predicting that our energy policy is really going to be driven at the state and local level. How do you feel about that in your experience over the past 20-some years?
Oh, Minnesota could probably take quite a bit of credit for being an ethanol state leader. We were the first to have a 10% mandate. We're scheduled to come about a 20% mandate in year 2013. I'm a little concerned about that. We can't wait till 2013 to do what needs to be done. And that's why I'm saying what I'm saying about what we need to be done. State legislation has been generally pretty, especially in the Midwest, has been pretty favorable to us. Some of the things that Shirley has worked with, both federally and nationally, have helped and paid off. And there is certain things that have to be done state levels, but really the big action is in the Congress. And we do have a wonderful relationship with the Congress and the administration. And I think we could be doing better than we're doing, but that's the way it is. Yeah.
Well, then how would, you're looking at Obama has done a lot in the short time he's been in office, and a lot of that has sometimes favored biofuels, and sometimes there's been a reverse on some of the biofuel legislation that was passed earlier this year. How would you rate him in the short term so far for his biofuel policy?
Well, I think he's, I rate him pretty good because he's kind of stayed with it, but I'm saddened by the fact that he's distracted with so many serious things that they're really not paying the whole administration I'm talking about, and of course the president included. I would like to see the president call up the director of EPA, Lisa Jackson, and tell her, Lisa, we need to get this done. Let's pass this 15%. This 15%, I don't want to say mandate, what is it? It's a
waiver.
Waiver is the word I'm looking for. And let's get this done. It would be a step in the right direction and would hopefully open the doors to more higher blends and higher uses of ethanol. So, yeah.
So how optimistic here you are for the future of the ethanol industry?
I'm optimistic. I think what we went through yesterday here announcing this new program where the ethanol leadership organizations have come together and are financing a program that's going to work. Everything takes money, and I think there's going to be some adequate funds there to make this program work. And I think the goal of putting in 5,000 blender pumps across the country is a doable target. Yes, I do. Yeah.
Well, that's wonderful, Merle. I hope that we see you next year and we can get an update from you on how you think both the program's going and some of the grassroots legislation work you're doing is going.
I want to thank you for what you do, because we need to get the word out, and if you'll help us do that, that's terribly important. So
yeah, I promise I will.
Thank you very much.